Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-commerce Paradise High Ticket Dropshipping Podcast. Welcome to today's episode, Do the Work. I think it's really important that you understand that the work isn't going to get done unless you do it. So I wanted to make this episode to really impress upon you how important it is to actually get work done every single day on your store. It's just because a lot of people get kind of burnt out after a while, and the problem is that it's kind of a negative cycle. It's like this loop you get into of burnout, and what happens is that you do a lot of work up front, and then you might not get a ton of results, a ton of sales or whatever. And so because of that, because you don't get that instant gratification, you tend to feel bummed out and depressed or whatever, that you did all this work and didn't see any results right away. But of course, building any real business usually takes either a lot of upfront capital or a lot of upfront work to make it happen. So the cool thing about a dropshipping business, specifically high-ticket dropshipping, is that you can start one of these businesses without a lot of upfront capital, just using a business credit card and, you know, using some cash to set up a website, and you can get supplier accounts for free. And it's pretty cheap to start one of these businesses, but you have to do the work to set up the business. And just like any other business, especially like a franchise, it does take some money and or time and resources to set up this business. Like a franchise, for instance, you go out there, you buy a Subway franchise, a McDonald's franchise. It's going to cost you $250,000 just to even get started. You'll buy all the equipment, you'll train the employees, and then you're there training them and managing them every single day to make sure it gets done. Now, with some kind of a low capital intensive agency style business, like a real estate agent, or some kind of service based business, like a lawyer, you're going to have to pay for education up front and certification, and that's expensive. I used to, dabble in different business models before I really stuck with the e-commerce stuff back in the day. I went to go get trained to become a real estate agent when I was younger, and it cost me a few hundred bucks for the training, and the certification would cost me another few hundred dollars. And by the time I was done with the training, I understood everything enough to get the certification, but I realized that understanding the business model more, I would have to all the work I have to do, and it was not a location independent business model that I was not interested in. It. I wanted to have a location independent business model, and specifically this mindset shift happened after I read the 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and I realized that you can travel the world, live in cheaper places, live like a king in Southeast Asia, and you can live on, like a king on a budget, on a crappy budget lifestyle that you'd have in a city like Los Angeles. All you need to do is set up some sort of a passive income business to get there. And it doesn't even have to be completely passive. It can just be any kind of a location-independent income business. But the more passive, of course, the better, because then you're not going to be working constantly. You can actually enjoy your life. So with that said, I realized real estate wasn't the thing for me. I tried some MLMs and network marketing stuff. That wasn't going to work either. It's not location-independent. You have to actually meet with people in person and get them recruited into your agent, into your company or whatever. And it just wasn't really my thing. Plus, a lot of network marketing companies want you to work with family and friends. And I really didn't want to burn out all my family and friends and get them all like weirded out by me and stuff like that. So I got out of that. And financial services, I started thinking about selling life insurance. So I actually went out and got certified to sell life insurance, which costs some money. Again, it's just another model where you're going to have to sit in an office, go meet with people in person, and get things done. So, I decided that wasn't for me as well. I was thinking about doing real estate investing, wholesaling, flipping of houses. While you can actually do that location independently, I realized that it's a lot better, especially in the beginning, if you're actually in person in your market that you're working in. However, with that said, now that I'm looking back at it now, I can probably get started again with it and actually do it online. But I just decided to focus mainly on the one thing that I wanted to do, which was e-commerce, dropshipping, high-ticket dropshipping, only because I found success with it, and I just want to work in that direction. But the only reason I found success with it was because I was doing the work every single day. I first got started by selling things on eBay back in the day, and this is around like 2005 or something like that when I first started, 2004. And throughout the years after I graduated high school, I had a lot of stuff sitting around, so I decided to sell it on eBay, made some money there. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit, to pay for, some pay for cigarettes and beer and stuff in college, right? But after that, I realized that, you know, obviously there's a big opportunity to flip stuff. And so I started looking at garage sales, started looking at the dumpster behind where I worked, which was at a warehouse, and they would throw away a lot of the defective stuff they thought was defective, but it wasn't actually defective, or maybe it was, but it was still salvageable. And so I asked the manager if it was okay if I went, you know, jumped in the dumpster, grabbed some of the stuff out. He said, "Hey man, I'll look the other way. Just don't tell anybody you're doing it, and you know, be really discreet about it and go for it." And so I did, and found a lot of stuff that was actually ended up being worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars, because I was able to uniquely identify exactly what it was and talk about the malfunctions of it or whatever it happened to be. Maybe it was just scratched or something like that. But the way it worked is that, you know, it's a distribution warehouse where I worked at, and the manufacturer, if a retailer would bring a product back and say, "Hey, it was scratched or it's malfunctioning," whatever, the manufacturer would say, "Hey, just go ahead and scrap it. We'll credit your account." And as a distributor, they didn't want to resell the used merchandise, because then whoever the wholesale buyer was would come in, would probably rather buy the cheaper discounted used merchandise rather than a new version of it. So they decided against that because they'd rather sell the new versions. And they just went ahead and throw it away in the dumpster. And so I took advantage. So, you know, and as a scrappy entrepreneur, as a kid, you kind of got to do this kind of stuff to get started. You know, you just have to look for opportunities and figure out a unique way in which you can provide value as a middleman there. And there you go. So essentially the cost of goods was zero for me, besides the time and energy it took to jump in the dumpster and grab it out and do the research, create a product listing and all that stuff, which took some time. And, you know, I won't lie, it's something I learned over the years, a lot of practice, a lot of failing, a lot of actually succeeding with it and stuff like that. You know, like in high school, for instance, I had a lot of Pokemon cards left over from high school. It was a stupid hobby I had. I actually ended up selling quite a few of them after high school for a bit of money. And that was nice, you know. But throughout that process, I learned how to create really good product listings and do copywriting and stuff like that, persuasion writing, get people to buy stuff. And of course, this is work. You know, don't ever discount practice. Practice is work. Work is practice. That's what work is. It's practice, especially when you're building a business that you're not 100% experienced on. You're practicing that. And why do you think a lawyer, you know, calls what they do a practice? It's because what they do every single day is they practice that work that they do. So consider that. And practice makes perfect is the common cliche people always use, but it's pretty true. Like, the more you practice something, the more you focus on it, the more you learn from it. And so with that understanding, of course, I took that and ran with it. And I kept going until I kind of made this decision after I read the 4-Hour Workweek that I really wanted to start a real business selling stuff online. And so I started talking around with people, and I wanted to do a skateboard company. And I decided, you know, I'll go ahead and design some boards or design some shirts and try to sell them online. That didn't really work out because I didn't really have much design experience. I didn't know anybody that was a designer at the time. I didn't really understand how to use third-party marketplaces to find designers. And even then, you know, designers are expensive, and I didn't really have any money, and my parents weren't willing to, like, give me money to spend on that. And I honestly just wasn't being very resourceful about it from the beginning. So it just wasn't something that I was really too interested in. And the other thing was, you know, I actually did get some boards designed, and they were all right. It was, you know, pretty cool graphic or whatever. And I brought them to my local skate park because I didn't really understand how to sell skateboards online. And, you know, even then, like, the price is pretty low on these things. They're like $50 a pop or something. You got to sell them for like $30 a pop to compete with the shop brands and stuff like that. And you know, there wasn't a whole lot of brand recognition yet for my brand I was trying to create, so I was just trying to sell stuff out of my trunk of my car. I was taking it to shops and stuff like that to try to get them to sell it for me. And there's just not much margin. If I wanted to sell it online, the shipping cost would be probably $15, $20, and there goes all my margin, because I would have to cover that. No one's going to pay for shipping on a deck. They can just go to their local skate shop and get a deck for $30, $40. Why would they get mine? You know, it's not any different. The way people look at skateboards is they look at the manufacturer first if it's a brand they haven't heard of. You're like, "Hey, who made your board?" You know, and I tell people who made my board, they're like, "All right, it's the same as this brand. Cool, I'll buy it from you." You know, it's the same wood or whatever. It's the same concave. It's the same press. Same company, just a different, you know, different design, heat pressed onto to the bottom of it. So that worked out a little bit, and it of course didn't work out a lot of it. And so that was the problem. It wasn't profitable. Although I did recruit a lot of skateboarders to be kind of the image of my brand. I had like a team of like 12 people, and it was really cool. We went on some skate missions, made some videos, and it was a great experience. And it was just this one summer in 2012 where we were all skating together, and it was a really good time. But of course, it was more of just like me kind of giving people boards and grip tape, and it wasn't really making a whole lot of money out of it. So I decided to scrap the whole enterprise end of the summer and focus more on what was working. And what was working at the time was I was actually talking with a partner, that the same guy that helped me get started with the skateboard brand, and we were talking about drop shipping and different ways to do it and different niches to look at. And he actually, you know, was just driving around one day, and he started seeing a bunch of kids riding bicycles around that looked all colorful and stuff. And it turns out there were a special type of bicycle called a fixie, or a fixed gear bike, where you had just one gear, you don't have multiple gears. And so it's a really simple type of bike that college kids are really into, and he just saw this huge demand for it. There's just huge packs of kids riding around North Hollywood. And he got excited, and he told me about it, and I said, yeah, let's do it. I don't care, you know, I don't even know about these things, let's just do it. If it's a trending product, then why not? And so there's a need in the marketplace, you know, high demand, maybe not as much supply as the demand yet. We're in a good, you know, opportunity, and let's go for it. So he actually did some searching around. I'm not exactly sure how he found this company, but he did find a supplier in LA called McCargy, and they are a wholesaler. They sell to retailers, but they also set up wholesale accounts to online stores, as long as you buy like a minimum order from them. And, you know, they might not even require that today. But so we ended up working with them first, and it's pretty profitable. They have wholesale pricing. They charge, you know, like a 2% or something fee for the dropship fee. They charge you shipping and stuff like that. But if you sell like a little bit above MAP, like usually I tack on shipping to the MAP price and sell it at that with free shipping, that kind of a thing. So if the bike was like, you know, cost us $189, I'd sell it for like $250 plus shipping, $280. So I'd sell it for like $279 on the website, free shipping. And I'd look at the competitors and try to see how that looked. You know, according to their pricing, a lot of the competitors would sell at $249 or whatever plus shipping, and I realized, well, if I mark it up $30 and say free shipping, it actually looks more attractive to somebody because they don't have to worry about, oh, shipping costs and extra stuff like that. And that was one of the things. Hey, no extra fees, no extra shipping, free shipping, you know, store wide, and I get them into my funnel. And by the time they're in my funnel, they don't even care. They're just like, oh yeah, this is the flat rate price. Cool, I'm down with that. So that was kind of one of our unique selling propositions in the beginning. And all that took work. You know, it took a lot of work to research stuff, to look at things online. But I use the same methods I learned when I was doing eBay selling, is I actually researched the competitor market. It's the same thing if you're going to do real estate wholesaling. You've got to look at the house that you're trying to flip and look at the competitors, look at the competitive listings online, the similar listings in the similar market that are, you know, same rooms or whatever, same bathrooms, similar amenities, that kind of stuff, and come up with a fair price and then try to find somebody to buy that, right? So that's usually what's happening. And so when I got our first sale, which was about 3 or 4 months after we just barely started this website, was kind of a light bulb moment for me. Like, I got a sale, and we actually made some money on it, and it was profitable. And the business hadn't cost us a whole lot to start up in the first place, and I was just kind of using my time at that point. It's like, well, now I have this product where I don't actually have to buy it up front, or, you know, and I don't have to dumpster dive for it. It's actually a brand new product sitting in a warehouse somewhere. And all I have to do when I get a sale is send the purchase order over to the supplier, and they'll actually ship it out for me. They'll charge my credit card. I take the money. Customer gets the product. They're happy. And I get the money to my checking account. I pay off the credit card. We get reward points. You know, it's just a simple process. And I thought, wow, this is really awesome. If I can make one sale, I can probably make a lot more than this and scale this operation. I think off of like a $250 product made like $30 net. And our marketing costs were close to nothing because I was using a store builder, kind of like Shopify, that actually drove traffic with Google Shopping Ads, really cheap Google Shopping Ads. This is back before there was any traffic, any competition on Google Shopping, like 2011. And that's how people, you know, found us. And the store building platform was actually using advertising, like AdSense ads to recuperate the cost of the Google Shopping Ads. And that was back then. I think now they charge a 3% fee if you end up getting a sale through their Google Shopping Ads or their marketplace. Marketplace, by the way, is called eCreator. It's still around, but it's not that popular because the Google Shopping Ads that they, you know, pay for are like penny ads. And so they don't really place you very high you're basically behind everyone else in the competition. So now we use Shopify only, and we actually, you know, use a couple of tools to link up with Google Shopping Ads, and then we set up our own ads in our own funnel. And we pay a lot more for ads. We pay like $1 to $2 per click sometimes with certain niches. So, but with that being said, you know, it was actually a successful model back then, and I was just like, wow, you know, like I just did this work. I put up about probably 20 or 30 product listings of all the different variants of the bicycles, you know, colors and stuff like that, the sizes, and someone probably typed something into Google relevant. They were looking for something. I'm not sure exactly what keyword they used. Maybe they use a generic keyword. Maybe they use something a little bit more specific. I'll never know because it wasn't my Google Shopping account. You know, and that's another thing. That's another thing that's great about setting up all your own accounts with Shopify, Google Merchant Center, Google Shopping, Google AdWords, is that you'll actually know exactly all the data so that you can better refine your website for that. And looking at data is really key, because if you're not looking at data, you're not going to be able to operate your company in a wise manner. You're not going to be able to allocate funds to certain ad sets. You're not going to be able to you know, optimize product listings for SEO, for user experience, for ad optimization. So just understand that doing the work includes looking at data and research. That's a huge part of doing the work. But, you know, anyway, so this is my story, and I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that in the very beginning, it took me a lot of time and effort to get to even the point where it was becoming a profitable business. That was just the start, and this is 2011, and it's 2019. It's been a long time now. In between, a lot has happened, and it's been a pretty crazy wild ride, ups and downs and stuff like that. But our biggest years were in 2014, we did $500,000 in sales, and in 2018, we did close to 750 in sales, and we also sold 3 websites that year. So we had a really big year last year, and we also launched our high ticket dropshipping masterclass and coaching program, and we did quite a bit with that. We helped a lot of people start their own stores, and they're also getting really great results now. I have some students that are doing, you know, mid 5 figures in sales per month, which is amazing. And they're well on their way to making $500,000 a year. And it's that $500,000 a year mark, which is pretty average for a niche e-commerce store. Some do close to $1 million a year, but they're not so niche. Usually they're a little bit broader, and the store owners have put a lot more effort and resources into expanding wisely, using sales channels and stuff like that outside of their store even to make sales. And so understanding that it takes a lot of work to get there is really key to your success. If you don't do the work, like if you get burnt out in the very beginning, or if you don't allocate that work to somebody else to do for you, like a virtual assistant in the Philippines, which I highly recommend doing, you can hire them for about $3 an hour or on a project basis, and they can do the work for you. You just have to create the video training for them. Or sign up for my masterclass, hire the VA and give them my training for your store. That works too. But if you don't do that, it's not gonna get done. And the key here is that if the work doesn't get done, you're just not gonna be successful. You're not gonna get sales. You're gonna be spending money on ads to send them to your website. You're not gonna get sales, and then you're gonna be wasting your time and money. So what's really important before you spend money on ads is actually doing all the work that's needed to make your website really profitable. And the next point I wanted to make is that you really have got to have a positive mental attitude about this stuff. You cannot succeed without positivity and optimism. It's just true, because if you have doubts and you have insecurities and you're uncertain, you're probably going to manifest more of that into your life, which will come in the form of all these little things that are going to happen anyways. But with that, you're going to see them as a bigger deal than they would be if you had a positive mental attitude. If you have a positive mental attitude, then these little things happen, you brush them off. You're like, whatever, it's all good. Just take care of it. Move on to the next thing. Let's grow. But if you don't, doubt, insecurity will creep in, and little things will become big things. And that's not really necessarily going to happen if you have a mindset of success. But you have to have that mindset to become successful. And success takes hard work to get there. Success is not a straight path. Success is a winding road, and sometimes you have to go backwards to get forward again. I always say this, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, because you end up working really hard, getting some success, and then all of a sudden you have a return, or you have a defect issue or a warranty issue, you lose some money on it. And this happens in every single business out there gets returns. You're not always going to have happy customers, and you're always going to have people that just aren't unhappy people, and you have to deal with them and get through that and take care of them to the best of your ability and eat the costs. That's what you're doing as a business. You're taking risk off of the hands of the supplier, and that's why they want to do business with you, because then they don't have to risk that, right? So if something happens that goes wrong, you just have to eat it and pay for it, no matter how much it costs, and move forward and try to get more profitable sales in the beginning. But if you don't have that mindset of success, any little thing like that that happens, even though it might be a big thing, is going to be an even bigger thing, and it's going to basically make you want to quit your business. But if you want to quit your business today, a year from now, are you going to be proud of yourself? Are you going to be proud that you decided to quit and go back to your day job, or go back to your other business that you're doing, or go back to, school again or something like that and try to learn something else? It's always going to take money. It's always going to take effort, and you're always going to have setbacks in whatever you do in life. So choose carefully what business or what, career path you take in life, because every single one is going to have setbacks. The key is to have a positive mental attitude and to manage those wisely, those risks wisely, and to outsource your work. Outsource the decision-making as well. Because if you have a big return issue in your business, for instance, it's really smart to already have a VA in place to manage those for you, and to have some sort of a rule where it's like, it costs you $100, don't even ask me about it, just do it. And Tim Ferriss talks about this in the 4-Hour Workweek, but that's super key to making your business profitable in the long run, because if you have to make the decision making, you become emotional about it, and it's the emotions that'll drive you crazy every single day. So if you just have rules for your VAs, like, no matter what happens, if it costs less than $100, just process this return and get it done and move on to the next thing, then you're going to take that emotional decision making process out of your day-to-day life, and you're going to be able to make decisions way easier. So understand that and focus towards that. I just want to make a really, really, really clear point here, is that high-ticket dropshipping, e-commerce, these online business models might seem like they're like this whole make money fast online kind of a thing in the beginning, and I'm sure that you might watch some YouTube videos and kind of get that impression sometimes, but really, these are not any kind of get-rich-fast scheme. It takes a ton of time, and it takes effort and patience and determination. It really takes time to learn this stuff. So just understand that and inculcate that into your mind, and manage your finances wisely. That's my biggest thing, especially your personal finance. And if you don't know how to make a budget, if you don't know how to make a balance sheet for your personal finances, learn that ASAP, because if you can't manage your personal finances, you're never going to be able to manage a business's finances. So, and you can't just outsource to an accountant and trust they're going to do everything right for you. It's really important to understand how a car works before you take it to a mechanic, because you don't want to get screwed over, okay? So it's the same thing with your business. Understand how your business finances work before you take it to an accountant, because you want to not get screwed over. You want to be able to explain everything clearly to them. This is a very unique business model, and only a few accountants out there really understand how to do the accounting correctly for these types of businesses. So you have to understand your business before you take it to a accountant. And so just really, really focus on education all the time. Educate yourself as much as you possibly can, and don't get into that mindset of, oh, this video is really long and drawn out, I don't want to watch the whole thing, I'm not going to watch it, I'm bored, because you're going to miss some really, really important stuff in there. And if you really are that type of person, then you probably shouldn't be in business anyways. It's just, you don't have the right mindset for it. So have the mindset of sitting through boring videos to learn stuff, because that's going to be key to the success in your life. All right. Now, the last point I wanted to make here is what the most important things are that you need to work on in your business, so you get some actionable takeaways today. So there's a few really, really key points in your business, and there's some points that you really shouldn't be focusing on too much. So I'm going to go over the things you should be focusing on first. And those are, number one, getting more suppliers. You're going to have to go through suppliers a lot, okay? So the first suppliers you get for your business might not be the best suppliers. They might not have MAP pricing, or they might be oversaturated with competition, or they might have way too many brick and mortar dealers that are making most of the sales, and so e-commerce doesn't really do so well. Or they might sell direct to the public themselves and have some kind of special warranty. I've dealt with that before too. So it's really hard to find great suppliers, and you've got to dig through a lot of crappy suppliers to get the good ones that are really profitable, that are perfect for your business model, high ticket dropshipping. And so if you understand that, then you'll have a lot better time growing your business. But if you don't understand that, then you're going to always be confused as to why you're not making sales. And the number one thing I always tell people, you've got to keep getting suppliers. You got to keep following up with them to get them on board. Don't ever stop getting new suppliers, because You might get a supplier one day. You think, oh, great, I got a new supplier. You upload all their products and no sales come through. Why not? Well, maybe they're just not doing that much marketing on their end for whatever reason. And there's not a whole lot of demand. You don't get impressions or clicks on the ads, that kind of thing. It's just a dead supplier on your website. You've got to make a tough decision to take them off your website and move on to a better supplier so you don't distract people with a supplier's products that aren't selling. And maybe it's just not a good product market fit. Maybe it's not a good price point. Maybe they just aren't very well known. Who knows what the issue is? But you've got to get more suppliers. You'll eventually find those awesome suppliers, those number one best-selling suppliers with the best-selling products. And when you do find those, you really got to focus on the products. And that's the next thing. So optimizing products and adding more products to your website is key. You can even add products to your website in bundles in different ways than originally. Or you can break out and make separate listings for very specific variants of products. You know, you can target them with ads, with SEO, all sorts of stuff. So don't be afraid to mix and match products into bundles and separate them as well on your website. But it's really key to focus on making more products on your site to sell. It wasn't until I really understood that did I start making tons of sales. And the other thing is that I started breaking out of my own e-commerce store and I started selling on eBay, Amazon, and other sales channels. And that really helped us grow our revenue a lot too. It was a pain in the butt to deal with because they have all these terms and conditions because they're a big marketplace and they don't want to screw their customer base over with unscrupulous sellers. But if you can try to abide by those and just accept the fact that you're going to lose some money on some orders and make a lot on other orders, that you'll be successful enough in those marketplaces to make it profitable. And you know, at the end of the day, you'll make some profit. You'll make some cash back rewards on your credit cards, and it'll be fun for everyone. So focus on adding products. The next thing is ads. If you're going to be doing your own e-commerce store like we recommend with Shopify, you're going to have to use Google Shopping Ads, and you've got to optimize the Google Shopping Ads. So be in there every single day or hire someone to and get in there and optimize your bids, optimize your budgets, optimize your search terms, your negative keywords, and build out new search text ad lists and dynamic remarketing ads and stuff like that. You know, all that stuff really matters. So ads are the source of traffic to your website. Of course, you know, you can do all sorts of SEO, but that is what I'm going to talk about next, and that's content. SEO and content go hand in hand. Content also works for improving the optimization of your website conversions-wise, and it also works for getting free organic traffic through SEO. Through the search engines. So content is really key. And what content is a few different things. Number one, content is your product pages. So more content in your product pages to sell your products. Number two is your collection pages. So like buying guides and stuff like that, category buying guides, so people can understand the products and make the best buying decisions. Blog posts for like buying guides and also product reviews and also installation guides and things like that. Anything that's common in your niche, keyword wise, is good to drive traffic, that kind of thing. And content can also be FAQ pages. Content can be, your about page. Make a really good about page and, really good, nice content page, contact us page, that kind of stuff. Content can also be in the form of videos, and it should be. So making videos for all the same stuff you make written content for is really key. And upload them to YouTube for a new source of traffic, link back to that page for external links and SEO link building. And of course, with that being done, you're going to create this huge web of backlinks to your store and you'll get more traffic. And with the videos, you should be able to convert people better. So that's key. And I already went over a lot of optimization for deep optimization, but there's a lot of optimization that's kind of store-wide stuff too, like, you know, having a really good call to action, having a good offer, having a free gift, bonus offers, that kind of stuff, having all the variants possible that should be added, having bundle options and stuff like that, and then having like countdown timers and scarcity, like only a few left, that kind of thing, a discount code. All these, you know, conversion optimization features are really key to making your website successful. And then at the end of the day, you really got to focus on sales and customer service. Sales and customer service is key because this is a real business and people, you know, they do business over the phone a lot and they do business by email a lot and even live chat sometimes. So you've got to be able to communicate back and forth between your customers and your suppliers and make things happen. So people come to your store, hey, can you answer this question? Yeah, sure. Okay. Do you want to buy it? Okay, yeah, sure, let's buy it. And you got to close sales. And closing a sale is a whole nother skill to learn. And if you don't know how to learn that, listen to my other podcast episodes about closing sales, and it's really key, because if you want to close a sale, you're going to have to ask for the sale. And that's the most simple thing, is like, hey, do you want to buy it now? And people say yes or no. And then if no, then why not? What's holding you back from buying it now? Is it this reason, that reason, or that reason, you know, and you can understand that. And if they do, then you just ask, okay, what's your credit card number? That's the first thing. And then, you know, billing address, phone number, email address, shipping address, and then their confirmation of the charges, and double check the product is the one they want, and you're good to go. So there you go, guys. I think it's really, really key to do good sales. And then customer service is key, you know, after the sale, is following up, making sure that it ships out on time, making sure that it gets delivered on time, making sure that the customer is there to receive delivery if it's a freight order, making sure the assembly is done correctly, there's no product damages and all that, making sure the customer understands that when they sign for it, they're accepting liability, if there's anything broken inside after they signed for it because they didn't open it up and check it when it was delivered, then they are responsible for that, and they'll have to pay for that extra piece, because that's how freight companies work. You can't file a claim with a freight company if you've accepted responsibility and never looked inside the box. So you've got to have the customer open up the box and look at the product, make sure it's not cracked or damaged or broken or whatever before they accept it. In some industries and some product categories, it's easier said than done, but it's still a necessary evil in the freight world, because that's just how they work. They don't accept responsibility for anything that's been signed for and has damage after you open it, because it says pretty clearly on the thing, like, you have to open this up and look at it first, and if you're signing it right now, then you're basically accepting the fact that you've done that. And if you haven't done that, then that's your negligence. So tell your customers that. But customer service is key, and even after the fact, you know, you should be upselling them more products, offering them more services, that kind of thing, and signing them up maybe for some kind of recurring membership program or something like that after the fact. Who knows? You can expand it to other business models as well, doing affiliate marketing, but mostly through email. And that kind of leads me onto the next thing, and kind of one of the last things here, but focus on those. Stop focusing on all the tiny little BS details, like the way your site looks or something like that, like the color here or there. Learn how that kind of stuff matters in your business, but don't make a huge deal out of it, because it's not gonna make a deciding factor in the customer's decision to buy stuff. I've seen some pretty bad websites out there that look pretty bad, and they close crazy amounts of sales just because the business owners focus on suppliers, products, ads, content, optimization, sales, and service. So focus on those things: suppliers, products, ads, content, optimization, sales, customer service. Those are the things that are going to drive your business forward. Not the way your site looks, not the color of your add to cart button, you know, not this widget you added, not this new app. There's not going to be any like magic bullet that's going to, a special app that's going to make you all of a sudden start closing sales. You know, instead of sending them to the cart page, sending them straight to the checkout. That's a terrible idea. It doesn't work that well, because what if somebody wants to buy multiple things from your site? They're screwed, you know? And we thrive on people that want to buy two or three things on our website that are high ticket. We end up getting 5 or 10K sales that way. Why would you send them straight to checkout? You're totally getting rid of that, their ability to do that. Don't ever put affiliate offers on the front end of your website. Your website is there for one reason only, is to close sales for your business, not to send traffic to other websites for affiliate offers. You can do affiliate marketing after, you know, you've given them all the chances to buy more products and buy accessories and buy services from you. Then you can think about doing affiliate offers. But even then, I would probably just focus on bringing them back to your website to buy stuff directly from you. This is a direct-to-consumer business. This is not an affiliate business. You know, you can set up a whole separate business for affiliate marketing, maybe like a blog, and you talk and review stuff, and you refer people to products and services. It's very passive, but don't mix the two business models. I tried to do that a long time ago, and it just never worked. I never saw much of a success from it. And it's just not worth doing. It's going to drive traffic away from your store that you're driving into it. Doesn't make sense. So don't do it. All right, guys. I hope I made it really clear here in this episode that you've got to do the work to become successful. And I'm sure that you get the point by now. But I really do also hope that you got some really good takeaways. Just make sure you focus on those things: suppliers, products, ads, content, optimization, sales, and service, and you'll be successful. Do not give up every single day. Put at least 1 to 3 hours of work into your business. Cut out distractions. Get rid of anything that isn't necessary if you want to become successful. You've got to 80-20 your life. So what that means is getting rid of the 80% of crap that's only bringing you 20% of your fulfillment and your success, and focusing on the 20% of the things that are going to bring you 80% of your success and fulfillment and happiness in life, whatever that happens to be. Now, I will make this very clear, though, is building one of these businesses is not a fun thing. It's not something that's going to make you happy, but it is something that's going to provide money for you and your family so that you can go do fun things and be happy. So you've got to make that a very, very clear thing in your mind as well, and that's part of the mindset thing, is that you've got to do this before you can have that. So before you go out and party, or before you go out and, you know, on vacation, whatever, build your business first. So with all this said, I wanted to let you guys know that I do have some awesome offers for you. Number one, I have a free niches list if you're just getting started, if you're new to this stuff and you want to learn more, or if you're trying to get started, you haven't really been successful, you want to find a great list of niches and a market research guide, how to do it right, go check it out. It's ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. You can sign up for the list there. You'll get it delivered by email, and you can get it signed up into my mini course, Dropship Secrets, right after that. And my mini course is great. It's a beginner's guide, so it's mostly for people that are just starting out and want a really good understanding of how this business model works. And once you're done with that, it's an 8-video course, then you can move into my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass, which is where I have a full step-by-step guide for every single little thing that needs to be done to become successful. I have a customized version of the Shoptimize theme for high-ticket dropshipping available for you to download as long as you purchase the Shoptimize theme through my link. And I also have a full review of the Shoptimize theme on my website, so you can check that out at ecommerceparadise.com/Shoptimized review. And that breaks down all the reasons why I use that particular theme. I really do like Shoptimized and how it's set up and how it works really fast and well. And I highly recommend using it. Of course, it works with Shopify, which is the e-commerce platform provider that we use. And you can check that out at ecommerceparadise.com/Shopify review as well. I have a full review of Shopify. With that said, the high-ticket dropshipping masterclass comes with a full master spreadsheet, has a launch checklist, and it's set up in a way so that it's a full system of procedures. So you can go step-by-step-by-step through each of your suppliers, make sure that they're onboarded correctly, every single little thing that needs to be done. It has a column and has a cell associated with the supplier. So it's really easy just to go through and follow it. There's links to each lesson in the masterclass from the master spreadsheet. There's also a place to put your negative keywords and create negative keywords with training on that. It's a place to organize your ads with training on that. There's a place to organize your content, your product optimization steps. And then also there's a customer service and sales CRM system built into the spreadsheet as well. So everything's kind of built into one big massive spreadsheet, and it's really easy and simple to use with training associated with it. So it's a huge thing that I created to just help you keep organized. And keeping organized with your work is one of the keys to being successful with business. And I made a separate podcast on that. You can listen to it as well. Organization is really, really key. So definitely listen to that one. But the masterclass is awesome. And there's so many more great things in there. There's content templates. And there's outsourcing guides for VAs and stuff like that, if you want to go that route. Or you can do it yourself and watch the same training I give my VAs to do the product listings really good and professional. And templated out. And and there's marketing guides. There's full, marketing channel setup guides, Google Ads setup guides, and all that good stuff. So, and it's also one of these courses out there that actually gets updated constantly. I'm always adding new training and videos, new case studies to it. A lot of people make courses and then just kind of let them sit and gather dust and forget about them and go on to the next thing. I actually don't. It's just the only course that I have, and I update it constantly. So by investing in my course, you actually get a course that's updated constantly as opposed to one that's not. And the other thing that's cool about it is that I actually do all the trainings myself. I have a couple of them my wife does for the customer service side of things, because I mostly focus on the building side of stuff, and those are great as well. So there's that, us two are the ones making content for the course. I really don't want to downplay what she does. If she does is really good, is customer service and sales is key. And so she does all those videos. I do a bunch of sales videos, but she does the customer service ones. And, I do all the business building stuff. So we together, we're doing the masterclass. And, as opposed to some content creators out there that will sell you on their masterclass, or their course or whatever, get you in there. And then all of a sudden you'll find out that half the stuff wasn't even recorded by them. It was like outsourced to some agency or something like that, and the content sucks. This happened with Dropship Lifestyle. I was in there and I realized that half the content is like created by other people, and I was just kind of bummed out. The guy that sold me this, the whole thing didn't even make it himself, past a certain point. So and it kind of sucks, you know? So I was like, all right, well, whatever, I'll make my own, I'll make it better. And that was my whole goal from the start of this whole business project, E-commerce Paradise, was to make something bigger and better than what I had experienced, you know, something that would actually help people in the ways that I felt like I wasn't being helped dealing with that course. And so, yeah, that was a big part of my journey, you know, and I won't lie, like they helped me get to where I am today. But what really helped me more was getting mentorship from his group of coaches, all of which don't even work for them anymore. They actually have broken off and done their own things now because of some big falling outs they had, just because of the type of person that the owner of DSL is. You know, not exactly the best person. So I've been trying to just sort of ease my way out of that whole community and build my own. And I'm really, really proud of what I've done. I've helped a lot of students become successful, and I want to help a lot more. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, don't be fooled by the, you know, glit and glamour and the shiny webinars and stuff like that people are offering. You know, if you're listening to podcasts and stuff like that, just know that the people who are doing the real content are the people that are out there doing the daily stuff that are updating constantly. The people that do webinars and stuff like that and the sales presentations, I don't really want to knock that too much, but the main point of a webinar is not to provide value for you. It's just to change your mind. It's to persuade you to buy their course. So just FYI, when you get into an hour and a half long webinar, there might be some good basic beginner content, but it's mostly going to be trying to shift your mindset to buy their course. And that's just basic sales stuff. But as far as actually building the business and getting it done, I do truly believe that my course is the best out there in the marketplace available for that, just because of how well I've set things up, how well I've organized it, and made it really easy for you to follow step by step what to do to actually become successful. So get into masterclass, and you know, ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass is where you can find it. And if you are the type of person that has either like a high paying job or career, or you have a business of your own already, or you just have a family, you have some money, and you don't have much time to spend building one of these businesses, but you want to build one, the only way you can really go about it at that point is either to make the sacrifices, or since it might be too tough and you already have the money, is to actually buy the services of somebody else to get the store built for you. And we happen to offer those services now. So we have a full agency built out where we actually build stores for clients, and we're getting really good results for them. We have a few stores that are making five figures per month now, and it's really, really cool to see that. So with that said, you can check out the packages at ecommerceparadise.com. In the services menu, there's a turnkey package and there's a demo store build package. The demo store build package is where we just build you a website. You can start calling suppliers and get accounts and do the rest of the work yourself. Whereas the turnkey package, we actually build you out everything up to a certain point, and you're able to then get it launched and you know, have it making sales when we hand it over to you. So that's really, really cool. And you can check that out at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. So it's a special thing that we offer that isn't offered in the marketplace by anybody else, any of these other course creators. And if it is, they don't fulfill it very well. And we actually have a whole team behind us fulfilling our turnkey stores, and that's why we're getting success for our clients, is because we work with a team of people to get it done. You know, I've heard a lot of stories about other course creators out there trying to do this sort of a thing, do turnkey stores for people, and charging a lot more for it, but not providing any results, just because they didn't have the right team behind them to build the stores out and the right guidance for that team. I focus a lot of my time and energy on actually doing that, guiding my team, training them appropriately, and, you know, paying them good, and so that they actually get the work done really well. And, you know, I'm really proud of that, because, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort to do that kind of a thing, and it takes a lot of management skills as well. So you can actually put your trust into me and my team, and I'll get the work done for you. If you're interested, again, ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. So I hope this episode was helpful. I know it ran a bit long, 45 minutes or so, but if you're still listening, I do want to truly thank you, and I do appreciate your time. And I hope that we can do business together. So let me know if you have any questions, and looking forward to talking to you in the next podcast. Take care.